are about 75 cartel organizations that are controlling and trafficking women and children. Now, this is slavery. These children come from our families. It's evil.
I don't ever feel like I'm going to be the same. I feel marked.
How much is two girls for a half hour?
I really wanted my mom to love me. And I also didn't want her to be sick.
I'll do it for 150.
It's so common that no matter what town you're in, you could probably go within a couple blocks and find a victim or a perpetrator of child trafficking.
Hi, how are you? Very nice to meet you.
The sexual exploitation of children has increased exponentially.
It begins with a glance, with a kind word, with a conversation, and pretty soon you've developed this relationship.
No family deserves to have this happen in their life. You're never the same. Never.
Real men do not prey upon defenseless and precious children. Knock it off, or we're coming for you.
You must not be tolerant of that which will kill us, or that which will destroy our children. We can't be a network of people that says no more by ourselves.
The stories are something that the general public will never even imagine could happen. As long as there is supply, demand, it will never end.
With the global economy being in shambles and central bankers moving towards a reset, it's never been a better time to protect your wealth by owning precious metals. Silver is at historical lows, and that's the best time to buy. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com. Tell him Sarah sent you. He promised me he'll guarantee you the lowest price anywhere in the country. Remember, email Andy at milesfranklin.com and tell him Sarah sent you. It's never been a better time to protect your future than now. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Craig Sawyer coming to the program. It's somebody I've wanted to interview for a while now. We had an interview set up a couple years ago and it fell through, and now he has Contraland out, this documentary about children's sex trafficking. And so I wanted to talk to him about it and what he went through to put this together, why he focused on what he focused on. And I got to tell you, I understand why he took the approach that he took. And I think it's a good film. I think it's really important that people see this film. And it for those people who don't understand how bad this problem is in our country, in the world, frankly, and how much we've been infiltrated. And I told him, I think you could do 6 documentaries. I think that you could start with this and just show people how bad of a problem it is, and then start taking on all these other aspects, slices of this problem. And I mean, you just can't go after everyone at once and every situation at once. You just kind of show people kind of, and then start really diving in. And you know, I've done so many interviews and shows on this topic that I believe I have a pretty good knowledge. I don't think any of us know 100% what's going on, but I have a pretty good broad knowledge of this aspect of our society, and it is so pervasive, it's so awful. And he's showing in this film just how pervasive it is. He put out a local ad on Craigslist and had over 5,000 within 30 days people come to this, predators wanting to buy sex with children. And I gotta tell you, I put an article up about the pornification of girls. It's up on my website. I have it on my front page, and it's another undercover group that posed as a young girl starting a social media account, and how she, within 24 hours, how she's just inundated with all these predators and showing them their private parts. And I put that up about 3 months ago. That was shocking to me because I didn't realize how these young girls, how bad social media is, and how vulnerable these kids are on social media. Everyone needs to realize this. And what that points to me is that for decades, our law enforcement and our society has been covering for them, our media, and just telling these our law enforcement to lay off, and they have just had free rein to do what they want. And that implicates all levels of our society. And this interview, we go into all of that. We talk about the whole gamut on what's going on and why he covered what he did and kind of what some of the next steps are. And then also how you can get a copy of this, the video Contraland, to share with people. I will also put it up on my YouTube channel and on all my video channels, BitChute. You can get it on BitChute in case YouTube takes it down, or go to BitChute anyways, whether YouTube has it on or not. My BitChute is really growing and they don't censor. So I appreciate them so much that they don't censor. And for those that you are listening to this audio, because I have a very big growing audio podcast audience, be sure to come to, go to my website at sarahwestell.com and look for the link to my video channels. And there's three of them up there. I'm on BitChute, I'm on Library, and I'm on YouTube. So look for that and you'll see it. You'll see the Contraland video up on all three platforms. So let's get into this important interview with Craig Sawyer. Hi, Craig. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Tara. It's a pleasure.
You just put out a movie, and it's very well done. And it's one of the most important subject areas we have going on in our country, not just because it's so awful. It's because it penetrates so deep at such a high level, and it affects everything that happens in our community. And people don't realize that. And I want to talk about that today and how it penetrates so deep. But your movie, let's talk about your movie and why you decided to take the focus you took, which is super important. I was talking to you before saying that this could almost be a series of six documentaries. And how do you choose what to focus on? Can you talk about what you focused on and why you chose that focus or that slice of this problem for the movie?
Well, first of all, coming from a covert background, working at the highest level of counterterrorism, working protecting some of our officials in the war zones for the Department of State, the diplomats, and another agency on the intel side, just moving them around and seeing how things work, and even in federal law enforcement, it's important to safeguard your operations and your techniques from your opponent. And I realized that about 6 years ago, when I first learned about child sex trafficking in the United States to the degree that I have, and learned how big and pervasive it actually is, I saw that the reason it's allowed to be so successful and so prevalent is because the traffickers are enjoying a lot of top cover. They're enjoying the benefits of secrecy. And I realized that we, the people, don't know it. And we cannot fight, Sarah, a threat that we don't know about. If you can't do anything about cancer, if I'm your doctor and you have cancer, you need for me to tell you. It may not be great news, but you can't start fighting it until you understand there's a problem and a threat, right?
I'm going to interject real quick. It seems that, and this is probably what you're experiencing, it seems like they have been holding off, keeping law enforcement at bay for decades and creating a secret. And that's why it's just exploded out of control like it is.
Well, I think so. I think increasingly so. We've had corrupt officials. And once the DOJ becomes soft or corrupted and a few key members fall into the corruption side, it's like it hits an acceleration. So I think over the last couple decades, we've seen a massive acceleration of the type of corruption that we're all suffering under right now. And I like to say we, the people, are starved for justice. We see absolute flagrant crooks making a mockery of our DOJ and of our system. And it's sickened the soul of our nation. We need to see that they will be brought to account and made to answer for the crimes that they've committed against we, the people. And the people attacking our president with repeated coup attempts, with just rotating tactics, we need to know that somebody's going to fight back and that they're going to be made to answer for it and that it's not free. An attack on our nation is not free. An attack on our Constitution by a domestic enemy is not okay, and it's not free. You don't get to just skip away saying, well, we tried to wreck the United States and we didn't get it, but oh, what a good try. No, it's now you need to be made to account for it legally. And so I realized the traffickers were enjoying the top cover, and I realized the worst thing that could happen to them was to have their secrecy, their veil, their blanket of security ripped away. And that's what I mean to do. And I know how to do it. And the biggest alert piece to awaken a sleeping public is a high quality documentary. It can't be a junky one because people won't share it and pass it around. It's got to be legit. And you have to demonstrate the facts to people. And so to answer your question, the reason we chose the topics that we did were those were the ones that we could demonstrate. We could show people how many predators come running for an ad that offers up a child for sex. And 5,000 local responses in 30 days over to one ad. It shows the prevalence.
Over 5,000.
Yeah. So
was that just a local ad too?
That was a local ad. So it was people that were within reach.
God.
So it sickened.
And they weren't even scared, really, right? I mean, they were kind of scared. You could tell in the movie, but they were a little. But the fact that 5,000 people came forward, they weren't. There wasn't that fear that you would think that you would see that allowed 5,000 people to come forward.
Not the fear that we need for them to have. They need to be scared to death. They need to be terrified. They need to be the ones that are terrified, not the children. We have to beat this back. This is not okay. This is evil. What they're doing when they rape a precious and innocent child, it shatters that child's mind. It shatters them. And they're not okay.
Yeah, it.
And it's a lifetime.
It destroys them.
Of healing and counseling and therapy to try to get past it. But it changes their perception of everything that they encounter from then on. If they live through it physically, if they do survive it, they treat their families and their friends and their husbands one day differently because they perceive so many things as an attack that are not an attack. And it's absolutely destructive. So we wanted to show people how many of these predators will come a running. And yeah, they were concerned about getting caught, but not so concerned that they were overriding their urges to come for the kids. Some of them wanted to abuse the kids. Some of them was out of sexual perversion. There's a long list of reasons why they do it. But we just need to rise up culturally in mass and say that it's not okay and this will stop. And we circle around the children and link arms and say no more. Leave the children out of your bedrooms and out of your sex life and out of your abuse. It's not okay. And we're coming for you. We're going to lock you away. We're going to throw you in a box where you can rape no more. And so that was a part of what we showed. And we also brought in experts and witnesses and surviving victims to share more technically on how this works and why it's the way that it is, how it got so big, where it originated from with Alfred Kinsey in the United States. And he celebrated
that was
the
great.
Father of the sexual revolution, yet his studies were falsified. It's fake. We would call it fake news, but it's a fake college study. And so that's what we based our sexual boundaries on.
Did they make those numbers up, or did they actually have children that they created those numbers from? Do you know, or is that all just made up?
Because
that in itself was horrifying.
He went around the country getting sexual predators to rape children. And when they would pass out or scream or cry or jerk or convulse, he marked it down as orgasm because that's what he wanted it to be. In his sick, deranged, abusive mind, he wanted it to be orgasm so he could justify his studies, and that's how he marked it down. Many of his subjects, many of his sources were prison inmates. He went into the prisons and got his data from a lot of sick-minded predators that had already been locked away for abusing children. And so right now, the Kinsey Institute is still up and running. It's funded with millions of dollars. They violently defend his fake doctrine because that's how they survive on. And our children, if we send children to colleges, they're educated on the fact that raping a child is by the Kinsey Institute, now for Kinsey studies, is deemed to be normal, healthy, and good. And when in reality, we see that it's a sick and deranged abuse that needs to be gone back and replaced by sound science and legitimate factual data that's healthy for the children. You can't take out your sexual or physical abuse frustrations on a small child. It's absolutely destructive, and it's not okay, and it can never be normalized, because a child does not have the ability to advocate for themselves against a full-grown predatory adult. Having sex with a minor is rape legally for a reason, because it's wrong morally. It's unacceptable because it's so damaging to them. And that's where we have to draw the line. I don't care what people do in the bedrooms. Leave the children alone.
Well, the children are so damaged for the rest of their life. If you're going to do something that damages another human being, that's that's so obvious. I mean, you know, you say the science. It's like, well, I get so upset. My background is all science, engineering. I'm seeing science being weaponized, right? This is a perfect example of science being weaponized against our children. And so whenever someone says you got to look at the science, I'm like, well, the science, yeah, well, some basic things like don't harm another human being. So maybe it just comes back to basic rules of civilized society. And we can almost say, and I don't want to say you don't look at science, because I think science is one of the most important things we have. But on this, it's so basic that I almost don't want the science to come into it. You know what I mean? I'm afraid of these guys with science.
Well, if it goes back to integrity, Sarah, if we have integrity, just like with it, you know, one of the professions that I've worked in and fully trained and qualified in is a federal criminal investigator. And when you're conducting an investigation, you have to have integrity, and you have to consume all of the available information and evidence and consider it with an open mind and follow the facts wherever they lead. Science is supposed to do that. Now, once we find that it's been falsified studies and science has been factually debunked, then we have to have the integrity as a society to go back and revisit that and in good faith and follow the facts wherever they actually lead to a healthy, legitimate, real science study on human sexuality and that which is healthy and normal and good, and call out what is so obviously sick and perverted and damaging. And a lot of people don't feel
it. The fact that we have to even do a study, we shouldn't have to do a study to show that that's wrong to rape a child. I mean, that's my point. Is it the fact that we even are having a discussion that could possibly be okay is so absurd that I can't even believe, but maybe we do, but I'm just, my blood boils to even think that we even have to have a science discussion on whether it's okay to rape a child.
Well, that's
you're right with the data.
Go ahead. I didn't, okay.
No, well, I was going to say, you're right with the fact that it's so damaging to them that, I mean, but it gets back to, if you damage another human being, you can't do it. It's part of the 10 commandments. It's already law. You can't assault somebody.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Well, it's a matter of people ignoring the wisdom that has been learned throughout the thousands of years of human history. Some things are known. And that, if you got to look, you have to look at it in blocks of time and culture and what was going on. And the 50s and 60s, America was, there were new agencies springing up, and we were trying to kind of identify who we were and explore things. And some agencies were quite misguided in some of their studies with drugs and mind control and abuse and stuff like that. And if you look at Kinsey and his ties to the CIA and some of what was going on then at the early stages of the Cold War, you can identify some misguided efforts to gain leverage on our political enemies over in the Soviet Union. But then they took some falsified studies and they ran with it too far, and they didn't have the integrity to stop and denounce it, and then they started covering for it. So then you have people that want to explore a new sexual revolution. They want to ignore the Bible because they're like, well, we just want to reinvent the wheel and reinvent ourselves and come up with a new morality. Well, the old morality was written by wise men because that's what had proven effective throughout the entirety of human history. Some things are absolutely known about how we function and what ends up being healthy and good. So when you have people that want to reinvent that wheel, they get off course and they go off some goat trail and they get themselves into trouble and they cause a lot of harm. And I think Alfred Kinsey's falsified studies on child sex is a classic example of a misguided effort to reinvent the wheel, and they've done great harm. Four generations later, we've got an epidemic of people doing incalculable, catastrophic harm to precious and innocent children.
Well, and that helps to explain how they're able to penetrate deep into our society, and the people's mindsets are okay with it. But then it goes farther where our leaders and our law enforcement create a cover for this activity. And what do you think about that? Because to me, it seems like an exerted effort to destroy this country from the inside out. And that's what and you said that right when you started here. And that to me is something that we can't accept as well, obviously. Where are you on that, and how are you, you know, that's almost a whole nother documentary. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Pardon me. Yes, you're right. It could be a whole nother one, and maybe we'll do that. I would like that very much. I think it goes back to a couple things. One thing I can identify right off the top of my head, I've worked inside multiple federal agencies. And what I can tell you from that personal experience as an insider, they're all competing for their next year's budget. Toward the end of the year, their fiscal year, if they haven't expended their entire budget, they will waste the money because they make sure that they spend it all. That's our taxpayers' money. They make sure that they spend all of it, lest they get less next year, because if they don't spend all of that money, there will be an assessment by Congress and say, well, you didn't need it all last year. Let's cut you back 30% or 20% or whatever the shortfall may be. So they waste that money. And so they're competing for that budget. So if you understand that mindset, the competitive mindset, then you understand the cover up. They don't want to admit that they made a bumbling mistake and go back and reverse it and make it good and have the integrity to say, hey, you know what? We're sorry. We were wrong on this. We're going to denounce that. We're going to go back and we're going to fix it in good faith. No. They don't do that in the federal government. Why? Because it makes them look bad, and they're worried that it may cost them part of their next year's budget. It's all about that type of status and greed. So that's one major aspect of why that is the way that it is. And the other side is it's official. We, the American people, like to believe that our government, or at least throughout the time I was growing up, I liked to believe that the government officials were honorable and that they were working for our best interest. And it wasn't until the last decade that I really started having my eyes open to the level of corruption. So we want to believe that it's official. And if they're covering for a botched investigation or a botched false flag event or a botched university study, then they're putting it out with conviction and authority. And we, the citizens, tend to perceive that as fact by officials, and we tend to accept it and run with it. And so now we have to learn again to utilize our critical thinking and assess what they're telling us against the credible facts and just make an honest assessment. So those are some of the factors that we...
Well, they're just people.
They're just people.
They're just people up there.
I'll tell you, a lot of them are not very good people, not that capable of people. A lot of people gravitate to the federal government to get an easy paycheck and a job from which they can never be fired. That's another problem with our federal government, is that the culture there is to have such job satisfaction so as to never be able to be fired. And I'll tell you, that destroys incentive to perform. I've worked in a lot of different private and federal jobs. And I'll tell you that the private sector outperforms the federal side 1,000 to 1 every time, because on the private side, if you don't perform,
you have to,
you don't earn the money and you fail and you lose. On the federal side, they can put their feet up. They're still going to get the same paycheck next year, whether or not they perform. So that's something that we have to go back and revise.
There was a joke that we used to say back. I used to work at US West, which is one of the telecom companies, which was a monopoly in the area, which isn't as bad as the federal government, but it was still bad. And then we always had this joke that you could not answer your phone calls for a year and be okay. But if you just return phone calls, messages, you could probably get by for two and do nothing else. And they were better than
they're also the worried about liability. So in the federal government, doing nothing is better for them in their minds than doing something. Because if you're doing something in good faith and you're trying to solve problems, and God forbid there's ever a mistake, well, then that's a liability and you've caused a problem. Whereas, you know, so if you have, let's say over on the right side of the aisle in a federal agency, you got someone that's just type A and they're just over the top and they're performing and they're doing great things. And all year long, they just perform and perform and they're just crushing it. And once in a while, they make a mistake, you know, because if you're doing stuff, if you're really trying, you know, nothing's going to be perfect all the time. If they make two mistakes throughout the year, they're going to be attacked and beaten down by
they're do-nothing counterparts.
On the left side that's lazy and is not doing anything, well, they're not causing any problems because they're not making any mistakes because they're not doing anything. They'll be promoted up the chain, and next thing you know, they're the manager, and they're promoting people that are like them. So that's the culture of corruption and ineffectiveness within the federal system. And it's not that everybody in the federal system is bad. That's the culture there. We need to overcome that.
But there's more, right? And an example was here. There was a child that was trafficked. She was in a hotel locally. This is a story that I personally know about. And the local police, one of our local suburbs here where I live, were called, and they were trying to get her out of this hotel that they knew she was in, and they didn't even respond to the call. The local police in the area didn't respond. But there was two human trafficking nonprofit organizations that rallied. They called them. They circled the hotel, and they got the girl out of there. Meanwhile, the local authorities and police did nothing.
Yeah. Well.
And that's the kind of stuff that we're seeing. And, you know, I've interviewed Jimmy Boots, Jim Rothstein, and he's told me some specific stories. There was a boy by the name of Jacob Wetterling, who this was back in the early 90s, but this is an example of it, where the day that it happened and it hit the media, there were 19 CIA agents here to formally manage the cover-up. Because these people were involved in a higher level trafficking ring that went all the way to the UN. So there is a formal cover up that happens internally as well, on top of there being a culture of BS, like you're explaining. Because I can't argue with anything that you just said. But then there's also what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, there's definitely corruption, and it's much more widespread than any of us would want to believe. Thank God for those who are still working in good faith in every agency and in every law enforcement unit. We worked, as you see in Contraland, with some very good law enforcement people that are serving and protecting their communities in good faith. These people are heroes. They're doing the work. They're taking predators off the streets with us, and they appreciate doing that. But I have to wonder,
how many predators did you take off?
Well, we've gotten 22.
I got to ask you, how many?
22 so far with 100% conviction rate. So what we do is very effective.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah, and we're working on other cases that we don't talk about. And
So
it's good work. But having worked inside several of these agencies, like let's take the CIA. I know a lot of good people inside the CIA, Christian people, patriots, conservatives that love their country. And that's why they signed up and that's why they serve. And they serve under austere conditions in very nasty war zones. And I got to know quite a few of them personally because when you're protecting someone and moving them all around a country under hostile conditions, you get to know them fairly well. And so I know that there are a percentage of genuine white hat good people in every agency, but to the cover up and to the corruption, I know, or I believe in my heart, that there are not a lot of people that go into an agency like the CIA thinking, how can I betray my people and my family and everybody that I care about and love by going into the CIA and ruining the security for our country? I don't think people gravitate to these agencies for that reason. I think they go in with good hearts, and then they get in and they get sort of incrementally corrupted. And like, let's say that there's a mistake made and that agency doesn't want to admit it because they want to cover for it, because they want to get their full budget for the next year. So that maybe it's like a little white lie, like, yeah, it's for God and country. Just let's make this go away. We'll do better next time. But then it grows and it grows and it grows. And at some point, there has to be integrity and there has to be a good faith blowing of the whistle. I'm not saying compromise operational security and reveal all of our operational secrets. I'm saying the wrongdoing needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with at the lowest possible internal level. But if the agency is corrupted to the degree to where that's not possible, then you force the whistleblower, who's a true white hat patriot, to go outside the agency to make that wrongdoing known, to get it cleaned up. And then that's where it gets messy. So shame on any agency that does not have a good faith, actual, effective internal whistleblowing mechanism by which they can look at and honestly address any mistakes, fraud, waste, and abuse of any kind, and go back and make smarter decisions from that point on. You have to have a lessons learned. Look, at SEAL Team 1, we had a logbook of lessons learned. And if any guys made mistakes or got something wrong, that's a good lessons learned, so that the guys that come afterward can read through that and learn that lesson and not make that lesson or make that mistake in the future. That's brilliant, man. We should do that on the national level. We should do that within every agency. Here are the lessons learned. Here's what happened to Benghazi, guys.
There's nothing wrong with making there's nothing wrong with making a mistake and saying it's a lesson learned. And you don't need to go up public with all that stuff, as long as you're learning from your mistakes and you have the integrity. But if you're covering up for things and then not learning from lessons, now you're becoming, like you said, very, very, very corrupt. And that's what we're experiencing now.
Then you can't look in the mirror without seeing a traitor and a coward. At some point, at some point, you do cross a line where it's not okay. So I do recognize that a lot of these things started off well-meaning, and maybe some were just dark and heinous false flag of events from the beginning. I don't have all of the inside knowledge on all of the wrongdoing and events, but I give credit for most of them being started off as just a legitimate thing to secure our nation and our national security. But I would caution guys, don't let, at some point you have to intervene and say, this is not okay, man. Well, this is way off the map of anything that's morally or professionally acceptable for anything I signed off to be willing to do. So let's fix it at the earliest.
I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah. Have integrity.
Well, okay. Well, and now what about a different entity not liking the United States as a country and working from within to take us down? It's so corrupt and it's so bad that it's hard not to start looking at it from that perspective, that there's outside forces that are incenting these people to destroy our country.
100%. We've got a group of oligarchs, globalists. I say globalists meaning that they are people that believe that a central world hub of power, and in their minds, a Marxist/communist system is what benefits them most. They call it socialist because socialist is like a light version of it. It sounds more plausible. It sounds softer, but it really leads to the same exact Marxist communist model. And that's what they're after. They lust for total power and they believe that they need to be in charge of everything, and they want to create a central world government that controls all of that. Well, a strong and powerful and independent United States does not fit into that model for them. So a lot of these globalists are global bankers. They are multi-billionaires, and they own a lot of big tech companies and things like that. And their outlook does not have our best interests at heart at all. And I believe they're have turned over to a reprobate mind. What in the Bible talks about a reprobate mind, where they are unsalvageable. They are essentially dedicated to something that is so harmful and dark and that it's evil. And I see people that are buying up all of the six major studios in Hollywood. And that's the reason why their programming is so anti-American and so negative and so destructive to our best interest. And four entities now that own all of the major news networks that are giving us our news anymore. Well, the president's calling it fake news. Yep. Why is he calling it fake news? Because they're lying to us. They're not giving us the information, the intelligence, the intel reports that would empower us and let us serve our best interests and vote in our best interest. They are deceiving us, and they are putting out what is fake news. And so the president uses that term for good reason. He's trying to wake us up and cause us to realize that just because they're official news outlets doesn't mean they're not bought out by those that are hostile to us. And that doesn't mean that they're not lying to us outright, because clearly they have been. You can go fact check them and see how utterly false the information it has been over the last, especially over the last 3 years, right? They told us that the Russian collusion story was 100% true, whereas when it came time to go to trial to actually impeach the evil man, the evil orange man that they said was so bad, they had no evidence and they lost, and they left with their defeated with their tail between their legs.
If you look at the media, you go when you look at some of those clips of how they project, it was like they said it with so much confidence that we have all this evidence and I can't believe how bad this person is, and then nothing comes out. People have to, we're seeing it right now. Yeah, we're seeing it right now with the fear that they're, it's like we have two groups of people here. We have the people who are trying to save this country, trying to help the children, trying to point out that there's fake news, trying to just do basic things. And these people are on all spectrums. Like, I don't know where I would have been 30 years ago. I would have been smack in the middle, you know, and a lot of us are. You're just these people. It's at my, and then the other ones are the ones who are brainwashed and can't see past the matrix, and they're fighting us the whole time. And that's because of the media that they're getting. And I see this group a lot more where I'm at, and it's frightening.
Yeah, it's scary to see how easily people are deceived. And I think it's just like in the movie, The Matrix, it's easier perhaps to remain deceived. Sometimes it's hard to admit the ugly truth. And if the media were unbiased, if they were neutral, they would have been reporting a lot of this in a way that may have been plausibly neutral and say, folks, the information that we have is this, and here's what it looks like, it means, and giving it in a matter-of-fact manner and then correcting it as it was demonstrated to be false. But you hit on an important point, that it's not what they have been doing at all. They have been going completely overboard, very emotional outbursts and displays, completely condemning our president and our country, and just absolutely emotionally just pouring themselves into the story and trying to convince people to hate our president and to hate our country and that it's all bad. And now that they've been proven wrong, they've been demonstrated to be factually wrong, they don't make any retractions or corrections. So we can see that they are absolutely illegitimate and they are hostile to our best interest. And it must not be okay. It must not be tolerated any longer, because they are affecting so many people's outlooks it should not be tolerated for them to continue doing that under the banner of a legitimate news outlet. I believe that their FCC licenses should be pulled and they should be taken off the air and under the banner of a news outlet. Now, they can brand themselves and call themselves something completely different. If they could say, "We hate President Trump Network," then I think that they should be able to exercise their First Amendment rights and say, "We hate him. We think Orange Man bad all day long." But they should not be allowed to feed us information that they claim to be unbiased news under that official news outlet banner when it's so egregiously false. I think we should pull their licenses. We should start prosecuting a lot of their executives and literally putting them in prison for sedition and even treason and demonstrating actual revelation of their investigations and their trials, just how hostile they were actually, their agenda actually has been, how much damage they actually wanted to do. It's an act of war, what they've done. The rhetoric and propaganda they've perpetrated against we, the American people, is an act of war. And we kill terrorists for less damage than our major news network corporations are perpetrating. So we cannot sit idly by and allow this to continue. They're destroying the outlook of our citizens. Our citizens are voting for harmful things because they don't know better. And we do have to make a correction.
Well, now let's talk about that, because it doesn't seem like there's like a level that they won't go past. They will only prosecute. Our judicial system seems completely corrupted to the point where criminals get to skate 90% of the time. I mean, it just doesn't seem like we're going to be able to clean this thing up with our current judicial system. I mean, so what do you think of that?
Well, I put out something very early on when after this election, and I was beseeching people to get it to the president and his right-hand man, and I don't see any indication that that's happened. But I put out a video on how to do it because I blew the whistle on a senior SES-level executive from the FBI when I was a manager in the Air Marshal Service, the Federal Air Marshal Service. And I blew the whistle on him, and they did eventually fire him for exactly what I reported him for, which was gross mismanagement. And so I understand how these corrupt officials protect themselves and what it takes to remove them from their entrenched positions. And what I had urged the president to do was take an inspector general or the head of the DOJ. Why can't I say it right now? The AG. Yes, yeah, attorney general. The AG works at the pleasure. He serves at the direct pleasure of the president. So the president can put in, he can assign an attorney general at any time who is an attack dog, like a Mad Dog Mattis type personality, who's got the legal background, one that's got the proper legal background to run the DOJ. But they have to be aggressive because there's not a lot of time. And they would need to put in place new directors at the top of each key agency and send that director in with dozens of allies. And they would need to fire a lot of corrupt deep state subversives in every agency up and down the chain of command and replace all the key leaders within the FBI, within the CIA, with true white hat professionals and patriots who would carry out the cultural direction of the director and the professional direction, and revamp, restructure those agencies and re-legitimize them and get them tracking true north again, morally and legally, on those the original charters of those agencies. Otherwise, those agencies don't serve us. We would be better off not having them than paying for them to sit idly, or worse, betray us. So imagine a DOJ that was serving the president in good faith, and then an FBI that had his back and was actively investigating and prosecuting a lot of the subversives, and a CIA that was collecting intelligence on a lot of our international enemies and working against those directly in good faith, and rather than running a lot of these botched programs and covering for them and gaining the reputation for the corruption that that agency's gotten now. So that could all be healed. That could all be corrected. But he would have needed to start at that on day one. So here we are. You know, we've burned through 3.5 years. So there's not a lot of time left. If he gets reelected, I pray, hope and pray that he does. But with the election fraud perpetrated by the left, we don't know what's going to happen. So I do hope that he's reelected and then he spends all the next years prosecuting these people and re-legitimizing our key agencies.
Well, what he needs is and I said this to you, or we said this before we started, is he needs a SEAL Team 6 or 1 or of lawyers that works for the Attorney General that are very aggressive, very honorable, and they're the best at what they do, and they go after it. And not to maintain power and not to go after somebody who because they have don't like them, but to go after people who are truly criminals and to clean it up. Because as we both know, people get into power and then they just they start to abuse their power. So not that, it's to clean this thing up and to have integrity again. And I think your strategy, I think that's the only thing we can do, honestly. I think that is exactly what we need to do.
Look at Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch. He's bringing
exactly.
it. Tom Fitton, in my He's opinion, an is a national hero. He's bringing
Absolutely.
A legal fight to our domestic enemies, the subversives who are undermining our people. Boldly, he's taking it to them. God bless that man. Imagine if we had 1,000 just like him.
Yeah, we need a team of him, 1,000 all over the place. We need an army of Tom Fittons who are holding people accountable for doing the right thing. You're absolutely
Look
right.
At Veritas. Project Veritas is exposing corruption and hostility. Another
absolutely.
Great team American patriots doing good work.
There's a lot of people who are, and then there's others who are corrupted, but there's a lot who are. But of course, the big techs are censoring all of us. Now, getting back to that, it's important. It's important that your film gets out there to start to open people's eyes. I would like to see you do a series of documentaries. I think it's very important that people start to understand this is one aspect of it. And what does that mean? But if people don't, you started with kind of the basics. If you can't get to what you're trying to show them in the documentary, you can't get to the next level. And so it's clear to me, it seems clear why you had to kind of start there. Because if you don't start and show people that this really is an entrenched, terrible problem, we won't be able to solve the problem. And but can you share how people can get this out to people? Because we need this to get out to people. People need to learn that this is a problem.
Absolutely. Well, there is a lot of suppression. A lot of bad people do not want this empowering information to be known by the general populace. And I mean to bypass all of those gatekeepers and sound the alarm and empower the American citizens with this information against all odds. And bringing this information forward has been hostile. It has been nasty. There have been people that have been attacking me and conducting character assassination campaigns and smear campaigns of all kinds of false information and absolutely fake, total BS, just to try to peel people away from me because they know that I'm legit and Contraland stands for itself and it's powerful and it's eye-opening, and their only play is to try to get people to think that somehow I'm a bad person and so not even to look at the film in the first place. So they can get the film. It's free of charge, folks. This is a genuine good faith public service alert, Contraland. And you can find it online at contralandmovie.com. And there's several platforms that you can watch it on. Take your pick. Share it everywhere. Share it by email. Call people. Send it to them through every means that you can. Because, as you said, big tech on social media are throttling this thing. They're stifling it. I got people all day telling me, Craig, this is so powerful. This is great. But I'm hardly seeing anything you post. I'm like, yep, exactly.
Yeah.
As soon as I started speaking out against child trafficking, and as soon as we started arresting real predators, man, all the little demons came and everything started shutting down. My official blue verified check on Twitter, went away. I had 80,000 followers when I got my blue verified check. Now I've got 110,000, I think, or 105,000, and still no verified. Like Twitter somehow forgot who I was, and even though they have all my ID and a known public figure. So that's just the kind of petty, bogus stuff that we see, and they stifle people's likes and comments and reach, and they're not able to see us. So share it everywhere. Send it through private messages. Copy the link and send it. You can download Contraland and you can upload it on your own channel, your own Vimeo, your own YouTube, your own webpage. Do it. Just don't edit the original film. Leave it intact. Leave its integrity intact. But you are welcome to upload it on your own platform. Why? Just so that it could go viral and get to the people, because it's all about informing everyone on the nature of this threat. So everybody needs to hear it. So thank you guys for sending it to all your elected officials, media outlets, public figures of every type. Nobody's too big. I want the president sick of seeing emails and snail mails and phone calls about Contraland. Sir, you have to see this. Craig Sawyer's on your side. His organization is powerful, and they bring a big fight to back you up, Mr. President. Take a look. So I think, man, if we get some backing from D.C., there's God only knows what good we could do. So there's a lot of potential.
Well, thank you for spending the time to do that. I think it's important. You talk about the blackmail. You talk about the fact that it's connected to all the drug trafficking routes, and you talk about the border. You talk about the massive problem. You talk about so much in this film. And like I was saying, some of it you talk about, you skim over, you mention it, but you just can't focus on everything. And but it's yeah. it you do the full
Too
circle
much,
with
right?
focusing on one. Yeah, it's not possible. And but it's so important, and it's very well done. So I appreciate it. And I'm going to play that movie. I'm going to upload the movie so people can watch it. And then I'll also play the trailer in this video so people can see that as well. And thank you so much for taking the effort to do it, because I know it's always an uphill battle when you're doing this stuff. I'm censored. I'm abused. I'm beaten up. And so I get it. I know what that's about. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate your voice and amplification of this truth to the people. So you're part of the solution. So bless you for that, genuinely. And I'd like to add just a couple things. I don't want people just to be entertained by this or informed or heartbroken. I want them to take action. And we've put on our website, vetsforchildrescue.org, a take action section. And it empowers you with a lot of information. And there's a drop-down window to show you who your elected officials are if you don't already know. There's a form letter there. If you're not a good writer, you can print that out, fill in the blanks, and send that to your elected officials. And or you can electronically send it to them online. But we need to fight. We need to send these letters demanding stronger enforcement so that we can protect the children. They're worthy of our protection.
Absolutely.
And support. So please do that. And we're a nonprofit org. I had to found it just to fund the documentary, because Big Hollywood wasn't going to cooperate. And so we rounded up the money and did everything the hard way independently. And with small donations for the most part, we filmed and ran all these operations and brought it to the people. So if you want to see us do more, we're just getting started, folks. As Sarah pointed out, there's so much more to cover. And we've got contacts now everywhere. We could start filming today if we have the funding. So go to vetsforchildrescue.org. Do please consider making a donation. We're not charging you for Contraland, because we just want you to see it. And if you like what you see, help us do more.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this interview today.
Thank you. Take care.